and be singing around the different shopping malls, and we're going to do one in Clara Street in, I think, Friday. Friday the 18th, I think it is. So we'll be doing a mixture of Christmas carols, so that group will be there, and we'll be doing some other song, Christian songs as well. Is that okay? Liz and Lita are going to be our kind electricity suppliers for the day, but I'm sure we'll take care of you. So please bear that in mind if you'd like to join the, I think it's Botany Downs, Manukau, somewhere else, be singing. So those of you who love to sing, join up and bring God's message of grace to the community. I want us to read from God's Word, from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, and verse 1 to 20. We're going to look at the parable of the sower this morning as we continue to work our way through these early chapters of Mark. So let's read chapter 4 and verse 1. I'm going to read fast, see if my eyes will let me. The girls just pointed to me and said, "You've got a red eye, Pastor." I think it had something to do with touch rugby yesterday. Chasing my wife. Anyway, God's word says, "Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it on the lake. While all the people were along the shore at the water's edge, he taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, 'Listen, the farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Do you want something? Oh, okay. Then Jesus said, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables, and he told them, 'The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven.' Then Jesus said to them, 'Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown in good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown." In this text here, I'm just going to dive straight into it this morning. In this text here, we have what I would call a foundational parable that Jesus teaches to this great crowd of people that includes his disciples. This is a foundational principle. Jesus says later, and we'll mention it again later, he says, if you don't understand this parable, you're not going to understand anything I'm saying. So that kind of tells us something, doesn't it? If we don't understand what he's saying here, everything else that he says will just go over our heads or through our ears and out the other side. Now, a lot of people, you see, and this is really important, because a lot of people think that parables, the parables that Jesus told, were to help them understand the complicated bits of the gospel. But you see what Jesus is actually saying here? It's the reverse. So people will say things like, a parable, you've probably heard this before, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Have you heard that definition of parables before? Okay, it's sort of correct, but not really. You see, the thing about parables is most of the parables, not all of them, but parables were designed more to test where people were at in terms of their confession of faith in Jesus, or even their rebellion to him. Parables were not given as stories to what we might call illuminate the mind or clarify the gospel. See, I don't know if anyone's ever told you that. But this text makes that absolutely clear. Jesus used parables to test not just the intelligence of hearers, but the spiritual responsiveness of people. That's why he told parables, these kind of mystery stories. And this parable, I think, in particular, is designed to do that through posing the question first to the disciples and then to the Pharisees. He's posing the question to them through this parable: how come you don't know me, and how come you don't understand my mission? And if you were here last week, we looked at that, the misunderstanding of the disciples and the total misunderstanding of the Pharisees and the scribes. How could they, who by now had witnessed many actions of the power of Jesus and the authority of Jesus and, of course, the grace of Jesus, how could they so badly misunderstand Jesus and his mission by calling him mad? And to the Pharisees, to those who were religiously educated, been to Bible college and so on, how could they so badly misrepresent Jesus as being not the Son of God, but the very devil himself? Well, this parable of the farmer sowing a seed, a crop, answers that question. How could they be so unresponsive to the words of Jesus and to the life and to the actions of Jesus right there in front of them? How could they just go, no, no? You see, this parable answers that question, and it's in this little proposition. And you'll be pleased to know this is the only point I've got this morning. And it's this: faith in Jesus is not easy to get. Faith in Jesus is not automatic. It's not something that people just receive easily. It's not easy to come by, humanly speaking. Faith is hard to get. That's what Jesus is actually teaching in this parable of the sower. That is his main proposition, if you like. And you know, I've never understood it that way until I really sat down this time and studied this properly and gathered the whole story of what has been happening before and bring it to bear on this parable. We read and we're told by Mark that Jesus is teaching by the lake. He'd love to teach by the lake. It must be wonderful to have a church by a lake. Have you ever been to the Church of the Good Shepherd down Tekapo? My goodness, what a setting for a church, eh? You look out the windows, they've got little wee windows, but you can see out the front window, can't you? And when you come out of the church, you look out and you've got this beautiful blue lake out there in front of you. What a great place. Jesus there by the Lake of Galilee, and he's teaching a very large crowd. So many people, we're told that he gets forced off the shore into a boat. And he's floating in a little boat, preaching back to the people on the beach. There seems to be, doesn't there, just in passing by the way, a real spiritual hunger here. Hey, people are saying, we can't get enough of this guy. We just want to hear and we want to hear more and more and more. But Jesus knows that as he's teaching to that crowd, he knows there are very few amongst that crowd who are receiving the message in faith. For many of them, or most of them, we know it just gone straight through their ears or straight over their heads in terms of spiritual understanding. They just don't get it. But I believe the crowd is there because if you go to the book of Luke, we're told that when Jesus was preaching, the people said, no man has ever taught like this man. And in Luke it says, Luke 4, it says, no man has ever talked such words of grace. Jesus must have been he was hard on the Pharisees, but to these crowds, grace, you could say, must have been just dripping on his words. And people therefore just hung on him. This man really cares. This man really is concerned about us spiritually. Maybe that's what drew them to him. But because Jesus knows many won't believe who he is, he tells them the parable of the sower. And he says this, a man went out to sow his crop in a field. Now, a lot of preachers I've heard on this, they dwell so much on the sower, the type of seed and all of that kind of stuff. I've even actually seen, I've been in a church where the guy preaching the sermon, he actually turned up with a bucket full of seed. And he went and started throwing seed over people and over all the music equipment, and I could just see the music guys going, there was grass seed everywhere. He was trying to illustrate the different kinds of seed. I was thinking the church cleaner too would have been real happy. But see, we can get carried away with the wrong emphasis on this story. I don't know if you children, have you guys ever seen people sowing grass seed? Has Mr. D sown seed on the grassy patches? You know, a bit of grass? Does he do that? I saw a man down the road sowing seed on the roadside the other day where they dug it up. Well, being brought up on a farm occasionally, we used to sow seed on bits of land that you'd bulldoze over or disc up. Tim and you guys would have seen lots of seed sowing. These days they do it through what they call big drills on the back of tractors. It's not so much done by hand. But in those days, Jesus says, if you wanted a crop, you had to cultivate the ground by hand, or maybe using an ox or a mule or something, or a donkey. And then you had to sow it. You had to plant the crop by hand. And so Jesus says this man goes into his field that's ready, and he scatters seed. Jesus says as he goes to scatter the seed falls in different places. Some fell on a pathway, on the way to the paddock. Now the pathway, obviously, is not where the man intends the crop to grow, but as he's sowing, some of it flutters out of the field onto the pathway to the paddock. And I've seen that too, because Helen and I used to have a farm, we used to grow a bit of maize. And where the tractors come in and out of the paddock, when you even with the modern way of planting, somehow seed, you see a little trail of seed as the plant is going into the paddock, and it can fall on the tractor tracks. Now you look at that seed and you think, that's a waste. It's not going to grow. Jesus says, the seed that fell on the pathway, because it can't go under the soil, the little birds come along, the little sparrows come fluttering in, and they go, ooh! It's lunchtime, and they eat the seed, and it's gone. Some, he says, falls on rocky parts of the field. Ordinarily, wherever you have a field that's going to be cultivated of any size, you have different types of, not types of soil, but you have parts where there maybe is a few stones that have come to the surface, or other parts of the field that might be a bit wetter than other parts, others that are a bit drier. Jesus says there was a part in this field where there were more rocks amongst the soil. And because of that, it hadn't been cultivated very deep. So the seed goes down amongst the rocks, and the rocks in a way provide a little bit of shelter for the seed. And so the seed grows up very quickly. But he says, after a while, when the heat of the sun comes on it, because there's rocks underneath and rocks all around, the roots can't spread out and draw in more nutrients and moisture. So that little corn seed, if it's corn or wheat or whatever, dies off in the heat. Some, he says, falls on areas where the soil seemed good, but it harbored the seeds and roots of other plants, weeds. And Jesus says, in this part of the field, there's a little infestation of weeds. They grow up with the new corn, but in time they outgrow the corn or the wheat, and soon they choke off its moisture supply totally, shade it from the sun, so that it too withers and dies. But thankfully, some seed falls on the good, fertile soil. Soil that's rich in nutrients, soil that has got enough moisture in it, and we are told that this seed grows and brought forth the desired effect. In other words, it cropped well. It cropped so well in places that Jesus says it multiplied by 100-fold. All we can say, if we were bringing that into colloquial or modern language, would simply say the plants in this part of the field grew a crop way, way beyond the farmer's expectation. So if he might have expected so many grams per acre in this part of the field, he got double the amount that he expected to get. Now, when Jesus told this parable, we read that the disciples are confused. What is Jesus talking about? They ask. When he was alone in verse 10, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. You see, they hear the story about a guy sowing seed, and the disciples go, "What the heck is that all about? What is he trying to say to us?" Jesus says, and he says this. Replies and says this, "Don't you understand?" He says, "Disciples, men, I've let you in on a secret." In other words, I've let you follow me. I've let you see me in action. I've let you hear me speak. And yet, you still do not understand. You still do not see. And again, he comes back to that point I made earlier. He says, if you don't understand this, you don't understand anything that I've been saying. Foundational teaching here for Christians, for those who want to follow Jesus. Jesus saying, you need to understand the message of this parable. You need to. This is vital to you and your relationship with me. This is vital to you understanding and knowing what is my mission, what I am here for, and what I will be doing. So if Jesus says that about the disciples, surely it is the same for us, right? What Jesus is saying in this parable is foundational for you and I to understand who Jesus is, and therefore to have what I would call true faith in him. This, to understand this parable, is vital for us to know, in fact, whether we do have true faith or not. Whether our faith is something that is made up in our own hearts and minds, or is in fact real faith. Well, Jesus has to explain it. Jesus says this, the seed that I have spoken about of the farmer sowing in this story is a picture of the Word of God. It is the picture of the gospel message that I am preaching and teaching to you about me, about himself. The seed is the Word of God about Jesus. Here's a big word, it is about the revelation of Jesus Christ, the King and Savior. That is what all the Bible is about. It is about Jesus. It is about the gospel of Jesus, the good news that Jesus is the Savior from God. And the issue here in this parable concerning that message is not its power. It's not whether it is true or not, but it is about the reception that that message gets in the heart and mind and life of each person. That's what this parable is about. It is about how people receive the message of the gospel. And so there's a sense in which Jesus is warning people, and he's saying to people, look, not everybody gets who I am. Not everybody gets to understand and see that I truly am the Son of God from heaven. A lot of people just won't ever see that. And some people will get it just a little bit. Some people will never enter into the fullness of joy and gladness of seeing me fully for who I am. And so Jesus says, as that word is spoken or preached or shared or whatever, it is like the seed sometimes that falls on a hard pathway. When the seed falls on the hard pathway, it's not going to germinate into a plant. It's not going to be able to bury under the ground. And even if somebody comes along and stamps on it and pushes it under the ground, it might just germinate a wee bit, but the ground around it will be too hard for it to put roots into and too dry to gain moisture from. And so Jesus says, sometimes when I preach, when I preach, there are some of you people who are just like the pathway. You are hard. And your heart is just absolutely in no way ready to receive God's word. It is like the gospel falling on deaf ears. It is a person saying about Jesus, well, I love to listen to him and I think he was a good man, but there's no way I'm taking that message any further. He's not the Savior. He maybe is a good man who did some slightly interesting things, maybe even crazy. Jesus says, you know what's happening here? When people think like that, he says, actually, the devil's at work here. The person who thinks like that is actually in partnership with Satan. Because he says, Satan comes along and snatches away the word. He's like those little birds that come down and pick up the seed before it has any opportunity to germinate in any way at all, to settle down a person's heart and grow faith and belief. Then he says the gospel sometimes reaches people like seed on rocky ground. The rocky ground person is the one who comes to church, maybe hears the word of God at a gospel rally, maybe at some revival outreach or something like that, or maybe a friend shares it with them for the first time. That person seems so responsive and excited to hear about Jesus. And before you know it, they've perhaps given a public testimony. They've maybe joined in ministry in the church and may seem to have great prospects for the Lord. But then something happens. They lose their job. Maybe they're involved in a relationship breakup. Maybe they lose a near and dear one through death. Maybe they get sick. They get a long-lasting disease that comes into their life. And Jesus says, when that happens to this person, that little bit of what seemed to be faith in the life of this person just dramatically drops away. And this person, as it were, seems to say, well, what I believed once, I no longer believe. And he says, before you know it, their faith is dead. He says, the hardships of this life kill off their faith. So he's saying, again, this person came to Jesus believing that the gospel or Jesus would make their life more happy, more better than what it is now. Jesus was seen as somebody who would be a good addition to their life. And they never thought that following Jesus might mean, yes, they would have to share in hardships or difficulties. They maybe were told that if you follow Jesus, you would be rich, you would become wealthy, as many people do tell folks in their churches these days. Maybe they were told that if you became a Christian and you got sick, all you had to do was pray and God would automatically take that away, because it's not God's will for people to get sick or die. That theology is all out there today, isn't it? Jesus says, this kind of person is disappointed in him, and so they quit on him. Their faith dies. Next, Jesus said, the seed that falls on ground where there is thistle and weeds, these weeds outgrow the crop and finally cause it to wither away dead. Jesus says these are people who hear the word of God and they may, like in their heart, really want to believe. They may say, you know, I really want to be a Christian. I really do. I can see a lot of good things about being a Christian. You know, Christian people are really upright. They try to be people who do good things. They try to be moral. They're good examples for me to see and maybe follow. But he says, when these people hear the demands of the gospel of that where Jesus calls them to follow him, to forsake all and follow him, like remember Levi, Matthew had to do, they sit down and they say, no, I can't do that. Jesus may be a good person. He may even be the Son of God, but to give up everything for him, no, I don't think he's worthy of that. And Jesus says, so the cares of the world, the business of life, is weighed against the gospel, and the person goes, yeah, I choose the business of the world over Jesus. Maybe a bit sad about that. These are the people who put the priority of this present life before the priority of eternal life. And they say, this world has got to be dealt with. I've got to get all my affairs sorted out now. And maybe I'll deal with that heaven stuff or that dying stuff, you know, that eternal life stuff later on. And so Jesus says, that chokes off the word of God, that hinders the word of God, the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in, and they choke the word, they kill it, they kill the gospel. These are people who have prestige maybe in the community, but they want more. People who have business, family, friends, education, relationships, even good deeds get in the way of choosing Jesus over the world. But there is hope in this story, isn't there? Jesus says the other seed fell on fertile ground. When this seed falls down, it maybe takes a little longer to germinate. It doesn't just immediately pop up like the rocky ground seed, because it was quite shallow down. Didn't have much soil to grow through. But it puts down deep roots. This is the person who, when they hear the gospel, when they hear about Jesus, they maybe don't first jump up and say, hallelujah. Maybe they're weighed down by the sense of their sin and their guilt and maybe fear. And in their heart they say, you know, this sounds true. Jesus is real. And you know, I've got to really deal with this. I've got to face up to it. I can't escape this. I can't escape the claims of what who Jesus is and what he says about himself. I'm just compelled to turn and face those questions and deal with them. There's no turning away from that. These are the people who put down their heart and their mind into the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth about him. And Jesus says, you know what? These people in the sight of God are fruitful people. These are the people who bring something pleasing to God. These are the people who bring, as it were, an offering to God that God says, yes, that is what I'm looking for. Some he says put down, some he says grow, you know, what does he say? A crop that's 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. What are you saying? Is there are some people who are going to hear the word of God and they're going to grow so much? Others are going to hear the word of God and they're going to grow a bit more. And others, they're just going to go like that. They're going to be mighty saints of God. People who others go, look at him or her. You see the point of the parable now? I hope it's a little clearer, not less so. You see, when people hear the gospel, they do not automatically see Jesus or believe in Jesus fully or recognize him fully and completely, because what we call the work of the gospel, or the operation of the gospel, or the word of God, does not work in every person in the same way. Every one of us is like soil. Jesus is saying we are different types of soil. And we all hear about Jesus Christ or read about him in the Bible. And as we hear about him, as we hear the claims that he makes for himself and the claims that he puts upon our lives, we deal with that according to the way our hearts are. Some of us say, nah. Oh, it's happening right now, right here in this room. It's happening in churches up and down this land today as men are preaching God's word. People in the congregations are acting out this parable in reality. Some are saying, no, I have to be here today because my mum or dad made me be jolly well in church, but I just don't want to believe it. Or I'm here today because, well, I've always been here, but I'm not ready for this stuff. You see, the gospel does not come to every person exactly the same way. It comes in the same way, but it's not received in the same way. Some will believe, others won't. Some will believe to faith, but others will go much further than that and say, Jesus is my life. And so life in Christ becomes all that they are. And so they grow and they flourish and they enter into the fullness and joy of God the Father forever. The difference in that belief will be according to the spiritual state of the heart of the one hearing. Whew, you know what? I'm really relieved about that. As a speaker, as a preacher. This is highlighted, you see, in verse 12, Jesus says to them, when they talk about the disciples not being able to understand this parable, Jesus says, and he quotes the Old Testament, Isaiah, he says, and they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. You see, here is the idea of the mystery of the gospel. It's something that's hidden until God reveals it to a person. It is hidden until faith breaks through and says, yes, this is true. But for so many, it just remains a mystery. And that's all it ever is. And so they never believe, as Jesus says, and they're never forgiven. You see, again, the parable will not produce faith. Rather, it's an invitation to faith. Faith does not come automatically to people. It is not produced by the preacher. So many people, don't they, go to a church because they say, you know, that church got a great preacher. Now, that might be true, and probably most have got a better preacher in Auckland than what you've got here this morning, okay? But it doesn't matter how good the preacher is you or someone else is not going to come to faith because of the preacher. These people had the best preacher in heaven and earth. And how many believed? Hardly any. Very few. It doesn't matter how eloquent or how good the sower is. The story is not about the sower. It's about the soil. It's not given to the intellectual only who can work it out according to so-called Bible puzzles. Sky TV run all these programs about the great mystery and puzzle of the Bible, you know, and it's according to some old story or myth. It's not what it's about. Faith is not produced by circumstances of life, whether good or bad. It is not produced by, and let me just back up on that one, sorry. You know, it is not produced by people having health and wealth or sickness or not. Sick people can get bitter and angry against God. We've seen it in this church. Wealthy people can be just absolutely overflowing and brimming with true, authentic, grounded faith in Jesus Christ. It's not according to circumstances of life. It is not produced by being in a Christian family or hanging with Christian friends. These things may encourage faith, but they don't bring it. True, lasting faith comes from a heart that is ready to receive the gospel and then grow into God. And there are many, many obstacles to faith, aren't there? As Jesus pointed out, you guys know that. You know there are distractions of life. You know that there are temptations to not believe the gospel. You know there are attacks of the evil one who will snatch, even as we're speaking and meeting this morning, who will come and say, don't listen to that, don't listen to that. Devil's at work. He doesn't want people to believe. He doesn't want people to grow in their faith. It means inviting rejection and trouble from the world. And it will mean the gospel will change our perspective of the world, that all that we have and are is not for ourselves or for others, but for Jesus. Well, today, people, you're invited to look at your own lives. I can't do that. You're invited to look at your own heart and before Jesus say, where am I? Which one of these categories do I fall into? It's my prayer that you're all in the last one. And the one that receives the word of God with gladness, and that word goes deep, deep, deep into your heart and soul, and so that you bring forth spiritual fruit, joy, gladness, riches of grace forever and ever in the presence of God, because you have by faith seen Jesus and believed who he is, the only Savior from God for you and for me and for all who would hear about him. Lord, we thank you for letting us be here this morning. We thank you for this time that we can have of worship before you, the true and the living God. Lord, may we all, whether young or old, whether children or not children, Lord, respond to the revelation or the declaration of Christ as Lord and Savior. May we respond in faith, Lord. Keep away those distractions to that faith and belief. Keep away, Lord, just letting us get caught up with the busyness and of life. And Lord, most of all, we pray you'd keep the enemy to the gospel away, especially, Lord, from these little children here today, for others who are vulnerable and weak, Lord, that they might grow in faith and love for you, and that your name would be magnified in their lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing our final hymn.